That's a lot different than talking louder. Tonight, I'm glad you could be here. I just want to preach a little bit about what's on my heart. But I want to give recognition here before I go much further. I got to thinking about this today. My mom and my wife follow me wherever I go. No matter where I go, they follow me and they go and they listen to me preach. They listen to me preach on the good days and they listen to me preach on the bad days. And there ain't no telling how many times they've heard the same sermon over and over. And me say the same things over and over. And I want to thank them for that. Because I'm preaching the same message that I preached last Wednesday night in Winfield at Harmony Grove. And I thank them for that, because if it wasn't for that, there's a lot of times when I go through these sermons that I've got wrote down here but it would be easy for me to just go, I'll just preach out. That one was pretty good. Had a few folks at the altar over here. We'll just preach out. It would be easy for me to just stop and say, well, I'll just preach that again. So it's a challenge for me that they come because I think about how I know it's hard for me to hear the same thing over and over. You know what I mean? And I think about how for them that it's probably a challenge. It may not be a challenge. I don't know. I'm just saying that for them to hear the same thing over and over, and they're with me in the good and the bad, and I just thank God for that. My kids sleep most of the time, but my wife and my mom, they're there for me. And I thank God for that. But I got to call, I say that to lead into this, and I'm going to get to this, but I don't want to miss this right here, because it's, man, God just put this on my heart today. I'm telling you, y'all just don't even know. I've been in the shop most of the day today, except for when I went home to get ready. And I've been preaching this in my mind over and over and over. And I keep going back to the fact that last Wednesday or last Monday, I believe it was, I got a phone call that said, hey, will you come? And it's a friend of mine. It's Harmony Grove Baptist Church here in Winfield. He calls, will you come? Our pastor's going to be gone. And yes, I'll be there. And then yesterday, BJ calls, and I think it was yesterday. It might have been the day before. But yesterday or whenever it was, BJ called, and will you come? And I said, yes. And God just hit me so hard with this today that most of us, when we get that phone call, we get the call. Don't miss this now. When we get the call, we pick up the phone and we hear it. And we hear the calling, but we may not be prepared. We hear the calling and we hear what God's wanting us to come do. And we hear God saying, I need you to pray for this person, or I need you to pray for that person, or I need you to go tell this person, or I need you to go tell that person. I need you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what I need you to do. Whatever the hands and feet are doing at that time, whatever He needs you to do. Most people pick up the phone and they hear the call and they lay it down because they're not prepared. And I'm not bragging on Bradley. By no means, okay? By no means am I bragging on me. I don't want y'all to think that at all. But I had somebody, an elder pastor, not Brother BJ, an elder pastor, come to me one time and he asked me to preach. And I was like, I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I don't have a message. And he looked at me, and now you got to understand that me and him is pretty close, okay? Most pastors won't talk to you like this. And I thank God for people that will, okay? At that time, I didn't thank God for him for that or for what he said. But he said, you're not ready. No. How are you not ready to tell people about Jesus, the man that you say has called you to preach? How are you not ready to tell people about what God has done for you? How are you not ready? And I was like, well, when you put it that way, So what I want you to understand, and this is not what I'm preaching on, by the way, okay? But what I want you to understand tonight is somebody here, I hope somebody here, I hope it ain't just me, but somebody here has got a call. Jesus has called somebody here, and you've picked up the phone multiple times and you ain't been ready. He's called you at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, I'm stuck in a ditch, I need some help. Anybody else got a friend like that? Called you just when you ain't ready? He's called you while you've been in the shower and said, I'll do it when I get out. He's called you when you've been at work and I'll do it as soon as I'm through with this, and it never got done. And I'm telling you tonight that when you get the call, you're supposed to be ready. And if you're not ready just to do what God has asked you to do, or do whatever you can do for God, to the best of the ability that you can do, I want you to understand that you don't have to be ready, because in your mind, you don't have to be ready, because God didn't call you because He thinks, oh, this person's maybe. God didn't butt dial you. God called you because He knows you're ready. God calls you because He knows that you are the person. God knows that you're the person that needs to go pray for that person. You're the person that needs to hold the door for that person. Go knock on the door. Pick up the phone and call. Text. Whatever it might. Send them an email. Whatever it is that God's asking you to do, He knows that you are that person. And when you hang that phone up, when you put that call down, when you stop listening to it and you put it off, what's happened? Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4, the title of God's message tonight is Saved by Grace. Saved by Grace. Verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were dead in sin, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show us exceeding mercies and exceeding riches, of His grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you again, Father, you come into this place. I'm asking you, Father God, that you start convicting hearts. You start changing minds. I'm praying, Father God, that right now you start changing hearts and minds, Father, that we didn't just come here for a Bible study. We didn't just come here just to get the check mark for the week. We didn't just come here, Father, just to come to church. We didn't just come just to hear something read. I pray, Father God, that we came searching, we came seeking, and those that didn't, Father, I pray you put conviction right now, Father God, that we can find what you will have for us this evening. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of points here and a few things that God's put on my heart. And I want to be very clear that I am not glorifying or gratifying a dead man. And I really hope, I said this in the prayer, and I've been praying it all day. I hope that you did not come for a normal Bible study, because I'm not a teacher. I can't teach you a thing about this because I'm not a theologian and I don't know a whole lot, okay? I'm just simple, I'm just simple. But what I can tell you is what I know that Jesus has done for me. What I can tell you is what I know that the mercies that God has showed on my life. I can tell you about all of the blessings that I can tell you about some of them because I can't count all of them. But I can tell you about what God's done for me. But I want to be very clear that I do not want gratification towards any dead man. And since I got that out of the way, the first thing that God just has put on my heart and it's just been all over me is but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. He is rich in mercy. It is Christ alone that saved you. And I don't know if I've ever told y'all, but I enjoy preaching and speaking to Wednesday. I enjoy Wednesday nights because I know that most of the time, 98% of the people that's here is the core of the church. And you come here seeking something, I hope. Brother Cullen said one time that this is the gas station. We've got midway through the week and we need to be refilled. And I enjoy being here and preaching and speaking to any church really on Wednesday nights because it's the ones that's come to be refilled. And tonight, I want you to know that you are saved by Christ alone. If not for Him being rich in mercy, I don't know how to say it. Can you get that? The fact that He is rich in mercy. We think of things of being rich as having all these money piled up and whatever, and I'm probably the worst one in this room at chasing a dollar. But we cannot understand or fathom the fact that He is rich in mercy. Without the mercy of Jesus, we was bound for hell. Without the saving grace, we are bound for hell. And here's the thing, it's not even a place that was made for us. It's not even a place that we were supposed or meant to be. And this is what I like so much about it. I love about it. I can't keep me out of there. There's absolutely nothing that I can do that can keep me out of there. Without the blood of Christ, without the blood of Jesus, you are lost and have no mercy, have no grace, and you are destined for a devil's hell. I mean, can we just get that? And here's the thing. Chances are, if I take a poll tonight, if I said, are you saved? Stand up. Everybody here is going to stand up, and I thank God for that. I do. But what happens here is we get in this problem, or we get in this routine, we get in this monotony of coming to church, and we get in this rhythm of coming to church, and we come for a Bible study, and we come for, and yeah, we listen to the songs, and we play three songs here, whatever. And I'm not picking on the song leaders, but I'm just saying we get in this rhythm, and we get in this monotony of we're just here. Most people go to church on Wednesday nights, the core of the church. I'm talking to the core of the church. Come to church on Wednesday nights because that is your routine. You don't have nothing else to do. You don't want to sit at home. You're going to have to go eat. So we're going to go to church. And we go to church and we come to a Bible study. And I keep saying a Bible study because last Wednesday night when we left, two different people said, that's no ordinary Bible study. And I thought, why did you come for a Bible study? I came for Wednesday night revival. That's what I came for. I hope and pray that somebody else here came for a revival tonight. I hope that somebody else here came looking for something from Jesus. Looking to get soaked in the mercies. Looking to get refreshed and looking for the blood to be applied. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not bought with a price. Maybe you don't understand. It's my prayer that you won't leave here until you do. That God bought you with a price. See, and this is what I I'm going to say it like this. I said this last Wednesday night. I remember. This is why I said I don't want to gratify a dead man. I remember what it was like. I remember not being saved. I remember driving home from the club drunk and not knowing how I got home. I remember the feeling of gunmetal on my forehead. I remember knives being pulled on me. I remember the fights, not knowing if I'm making it. I remember. I remember these things. I remember my wreck. And even though I was saved when I had my wreck, I remember what it's like to almost be dead. I remember. And all these times that I was so close, right there at it, all these times, I didn't know how close I was to spending eternity in hell. And if you're wondering, like, oh, well, Bradley don't normally preach this way. I don't normally sound... I am so convicted at the fact that people don't understand the mercy of Jesus Christ. I'm so heavy-hearted for the people that don't get that the blood has to be applied. But I'm even more burdened for the people that sit in a pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, the core of the church that don't remember. I'm burdened for the church that don't remember. Because we get in this monotony, we get in our routine, and we're just stuck in it. We say, and here's the thing, I thank God so much for this church. You have no idea that the fact that 11 people or however many people got saved and baptized Sunday, and people actually clapped and cheered. Because you don't, I've told you this before, you don't understand how many churches that I go to that it just don't bother. You could say 10 people got saved and they'd go, hey, hear a pin drop. But on the same people talk about Jesus, He's got me. And those same people have forgotten the fact that if it wasn't for the blood, that they'd be destined for hell. I can't be the only one that remembers. I listened to BJ preach, and here's the thing. I have, for so long, I've preached, I don't even remember how many years, but I've preached for a while. And I've sat in pulpits, and I have preached, and so many times I want to say things, and I want to preach the way that I want to preach, but I am so scared. I'm so vulnerable right now. I've been so scared to preach because I'm afraid that somebody that knows me from the past would say, I remember that guy. I remember what he used to do. I remember what he did. I was with him. I seen him. He went to jail. Whatever they want to say. I remember too, but I'm not that guy no more. The mercy was applied to my life. I was saved by the grace of God. BJ said a few weeks ago that he's just got a case of don't give a rip, and I'm with him. It's so that when he said that, it's, y'all, I'm just telling you, I don't think y'all understand how much when he said, I just don't give a rip. How much that just spoke to me. And how much it means that to not care what people think. Because here's the thing, that this is one thing that I know for sure. It don't matter how much you think or how much you care about what people think or how much you try to make people think differently. They're still going to talk. They're still going to talk. I've been saved since 2011. I've been seeking Jesus since 2011. Preaching and giving my testimony. And people still think that I'm doing wrong. There's nothing you can do to satisfy people. And I've realized that, I don't know about y'all, maybe I'm just preaching to me. But I've realized that over the past however long that I've been looking to satisfy the wrong people, the wrong things. BJ said he don't give a rip. And I don't either. I don't either. Somebody's going to have something to say about that. I don't either. I just want to please God. I just want to thank Him for the mercy that He's applied to my life. But most of all, something that I remember July the 17th, 2011, more than I remember anything. And it was this is the reason why I said I don't want to gratify a dead man. That was the day that the old Bradley died. On top of a hill, knelt down in a mud hole. You've heard me tell about it before. That was the day that the old man died and mercy was applied to my life. The day that the blood was applied. The day that my debt was paid. I remember, above all the other stuff that has happened in my life, all the other things that I've done in my life, I remember July the 17th, 2011, when Jesus saved me. And He traded His righteousness for my unrighteousness on the cross. The next thing I want to tell you, next thing that I feel like God has just really laid on my heart. And I was telling you about how when you get that call, you put the phone down because you're not prepared. When you get that call, I keep seeing Zach over here out of the corner of my eye. I ain't picking on you, but he called me a few years ago and he was stuck. And stuck. Couple stucks. You hear me? All right? I think there was two people stuck at that time. And yeah, I'll come help you out. Sure. Well, I wasn't getting him out. And I'm not gratifying me. I'm just saying. I don't know why that just popped in my head, but just because you think you're not ready, God's got you ready. And I want you to know that your readiness, the readiness that He's got for you, what He has for you, anything He has in store for you, is free. It's free. It is the free gift of God. Verse number 8. Verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, nothing you can do, not of yourself, it is the gift of God. It's free. There's absolutely nothing that I can do to earn any more than what I've already got. There's absolutely nothing you can do to be more saved than saved. There's nothing that you can do to be more saved than me. There's nothing that you can do. And we act like this free gift is like most kids do on Christmas now. They open a present, they look at it, oh, on to the next one. I use this example. We've seen a picture of Zias. Somehow or another, Carrie's got pictures that pop up on the TV. And it's a slideshow. You know what I'm saying? Pictures. So when it's a screensaver, we see pictures, right? And there's one where Zias is opening a Christmas gift. And it was a toy phone, right? It was a little bitty toy phone, like, a couple years ago, last year, whenever it was. But he opens this gift, and he is so excited. He's overwhelmed with joy. It's a phone. And the excitement on his face, like every time I see that picture, it makes me feel happy. You know what I mean? The phone don't even work anymore. I don't know what happened to it. It didn't last long. Okay? But what I am telling you is that that gift that I'm talking about, that free gift, it lasts for an eternity. It's forever. And there's nothing that you can do to take my gift away. There's no amount of beating on me to make it break. There's no amount of nothing that you can do to take that gift from me. It's mine. And it's yours if you've accepted Christ. That mercy that renews every single morning. Every morning. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Some couples stay mad at each other for days. For days and don't talk. There's people that don't talk to you right now and haven't for years because they don't understand the mercy and grace of Jesus. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I mean, and we just sat there. I've even got off my notes here. It's so convicting to me that the core of the church don't get it. And maybe I'm not talking to our church. Maybe I shouldn't be preaching it here. But I feel like it should be here. Because I don't want us to forget that the spirit that we've got here, it could be gone. The 11 salvations is a blessing. The baptismal waters being used is a blessing. I'm willing to bet you that most churches probably haven't used theirs in a year. And when I say most, I'm talking about let's go take a poll and start cleaning out cobwebs out of theirs. It's a blessing. And it's all because the mercy and grace that Jesus has gave to us. The world tells us that if you'll do something for me, I'll do something for you. I seen a video the other day that said, the guy said, I live in the country and favors is a currency around here. You know? Maybe that's why I was thinking about Zach pulling him out. He still owes me a favor. But favors is a currency. And he said, and this is what he said. He was talking about, he's a farmer, the guy is. And I think he was talking about maybe baling hay or something. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't remember exactly. But he said that he had went and let somebody borrow something or done something for him. And they said, what I owe you? He said, I'll catch you down the road. And that's the world that we live in. I do something for you. You do something for me. I do you a favor. You owe me something. You know what I mean? You do me a favor, I owe you something, right? And you expect that favor when you call on them. Call you. You expect that favor when you call somebody. You expect somebody to be there when you call them. And what I'm telling you is that it's not like that with Jesus. When he went to the cross, he already knew that I was going to fail him. Tony, he already knew that you was going to slip up. But he still went. He's walking up Golgotha's hill, and all he had to do was call down a legion of angels. All he had to do was just say, you know what? I am sick of this. I ain't doing it. That's all he had to do. But he still went through with it. Because he knew we needed the mercy. He knew that we would need it to renew every morning. And he knew that there was nothing that we could do, that it was all on him. And he wasn't worried a single bit about, well, I'm going to go do this, and I expect them to do it for me. I expect them. He still gives you a free will. It's not a currency. It's His mercy. It's His grace. There is no way. I believe this with all my heart. There's absolutely no way you can get a hold of Jesus and not have a desire to tell somebody about it. Unless this is what you've done with it. Unless you've got a hold of Jesus and you went over here and you went to your shelf and you've just put Him up on a shelf and you've just walked away. Because the further you get from Him, the less you're going to have that desire. The further you get from Him, the less you're going to want to tell people about it. This world is just, it's just messed up in thinking. Most people think that Jesus owes them something. But He owes you nothing. What He really owes you is wrath and damnation. But He gives you mercy. He gives you the blood. He gives you blessings. And He gives you grace. It's the greatest gift. And there's nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing. We just had VBS. There's no amount of VBS. There's no amount of BJ's preaching. There's no amount of Bible reading. There's no amount of your mama did this and your daddy did that and holding on to a coattail. There's nothing. Church camp, nothing. We are saved solely by the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Solely by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. We're saved by that crown of thorns that was meant for us. Those lashes that were meant for us. We're saved by Jesus. I heard a story, and I'm going to leave you with this. Heard a story, and I don't remember the logistics of it, so just maybe you've heard it before. There was a king, had tons of money and gold, and he was good to all of his people that was in his kingdom, but his accountant or whatever the guy is that counts his gold comes and says, "We're losing gold. Somebody's stealing money from you, king." And he said, "Well, it's going to be however many lashings in front of the city when we find out who it is." And then it rocks on a week or so later. We're still losing gold and we don't know who it is. And it's so many more lashings. And then it rocks on and so many more lashings. And I think it wound up being 40 lashings, I think was the number. Don't hold me to that if you know the story. But it was whatever the number of lashings it was the death penalty. And said, "When we find out who it is, they get that number of lashings." The accountant come back a day or two later and said, "King, we figured out who it is. It's your daughter. Your daughter who has everything. Your daughter who you gave everything, who could have whatever she wants, has been stealing the gold." And the king said, "Well, the rules rule. That's what's got to take place." So they gathered the whole kingdom around. They get in the courtyard and they lay the daughter out. And just as they start to do the lashings, the king runs up and covers his daughter. Covers his daughter and says, "Give it to me. I'll take it." Covers up all of her sin and says, "You know what? Put it on me. Put it on my account. Give me the lashings." And they gave him the lashings and he died. That's what Jesus did for you and me. He owes us absolutely nothing. But He gives us and has gave us absolutely everything. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You. Again, I praise You, Father God. I thank You for the opportunity to be here. I thank You for allowing me to preach Your word. I thank You, Father God, for each and every soul that's here. I ask You, Father, that You just pour out blessings on their life. I pray, Father God, that You will continue to pour out mercy. I pray, Father God, You will put conviction where it needs to be, Father God, that we can start seeing what You want us to see. We can just start working towards gratifying You, Father God, doing what You've called us to do, doing even when we think we're not prepared, Father, doing what You've called us to do. Father, I thank You. I can't thank You enough. I can't praise You enough for all that You do for us, all that You do for our church, all that You do for our families. I can't thank You enough, Father. Lord, when the lights are turned off and the doors are locked, I pray, Father, that it's recorded in heaven. Your will was done here, and only You was gratified in this place. I pray that Satan be horrified and You be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.